Hi, everyone. This is Kel Weinhold from the Professor's Inn. In light of the current COVID-19 crisis, we're teaming up with Himalaya to show our support. From the time that you hear this podcast through the end of May, Himalaya will match the exact dollar amount for every active subscriber to our premium channel and donate it to Direct Relief to support our healthcare workers. So go to your app store, download the Himalaya app, search The Professor's Inn, and subscribe to our premium channel to show your support. Let's fight this pandemic together.
Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Karen Kelsky of The Professor's Inn. And as always, we're very glad that you are here with us today, especially in the middle of the pandemic.
This is Kel Weinhold. I am also from The Professor's Inn, where I am very much focused right now on being a productivity coach, supporting people to understand that they're just not going to get quite as much work done because you are confined to your residence in the middle of a global health crisis. You are not working at home. Don't let anybody try to persuade you that you are working at home. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're focused on here.
Yeah. And in reality, the name productivity coach, title productivity coach, isn't really accurate because it would imply that you're trying to get people to be quote unquote productive and feeding into the productivity imperative. And you're definitely not doing that. I mean, I just want to make sure our listeners know that every message, every way, shape, and form that we can get the message out to you on Facebook, on the blog, on this podcast is don't expect to be productive and don't beat yourself up for not being productive.
Yes.
Maybe you're, wait, no, not the non-productivity coach. You're the...
I'm the radical acceptance coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? I'm following in Tara Brock's wake. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting question. And we don't want to get too far off topic from what we're talking about today, though maybe we can tie it in. But that I think trying to find that balance. Mm-hmm. What I was talking about to a group that I was working with today is beginning to assess yourself on the rocky to solid, right? Mm-hmm. Where are you on the rocky to solid scale? Mm-hmm. And if we start to pay attention to the scale we're on, then we can start to see what we need to be able to get closer to the middle or closer to the solid side. Mm-hmm. And for different people, what you need is different. So there are people out there for whom work is really helping them stay on the solid side.
Sure, of course.
And there are people who are putting way too much pressure on themselves because they haven't adjusted their expectations yet. Mm-hmm. And it's pushing them to the rocky side. Mm-hmm. So really trying to help people begin to do that self-assessment to say, what will get me closer to solid mm-hmm. in my well-being? Because it's right. The only thing I'm actually interested in mm-hmm. is your psychological and physical well-being.
And that's always the case, not right. even in a pandemic.
Right. It's the secret of...
It's the stealth message.
It's the stealth message of Unstuck, which uh-huh. if you listen to any of the people who talk about it, they'll tell you, wait a minute. This changed the way I think. But anyway, we're not doing a Unstuck promo here, but if you would like to join Unstuck, you always can. What we are talking about today is actually something a hell of a lot less fun, which is the very real collapse of the academic job market and where we're going to go from here.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing to preface this with is I'm sure you already know, which is that this is all just trying to read tea leaves. Everything is impossible to predict. And nobody really knows what we have to expect in the fall or in next spring or over this summer or next week. So, you know, with that caveat, we're just going to try and talk through what we do know right now and what it means for you if you are, in particular, a job seeker mm-hmm. or a current grad student who's looking out ahead to the job market. There's just a few things we can share about that.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to preface this whole thing. A lot of times we get pushback from people who talk about how negative we are. They said, you were really negative about this and you were really negative about that. And
we do?
Yes. We just had somebody on Twitter the other day say, I don't like the podcast because you were negative about publishing.
That was one person.
There are more than...
But please, go ahead because I am interested to hear what you have to say about this. Because it's true. No, it's true. We used to, I feel like we used to hear it a lot when the Professor's Inn started, and less so now, but.
Right. Well, when the Professor's Inn started, you were much more in a sort of fire hose of rage, and that's now been occasionally
modulated
with an occasional fire hose of take care of yourself.
That must be very disconcerting, honestly. Must be
like, what is happening here? But one of the things that we take a great deal of pride in is that we're going to tell you the truth. I mean, you've been from the very beginning saying, I'm just going to tell you what's really true. And I, my first rule of coaching is we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth about what's possible and what's not. Mm-hmm. So this podcast is going to be bracing, to say the least. And it's, there's not good news out there. We're mm-hmm. not, we can't, but it's not our job to try to figure out how to make you feel better in it all. And that's really important that we keep remembering that. Mm-hmm. We want to be the best support and the best comfort and the best allies you can possibly have in this hellscape. And it is a hellscape. So acting like it's not, is not going to serve anybody. And so I think it's just really tough. I mean, let's jump right into your Google Doc.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I just want to say that the feedback the Professor's Inn, the much, much more abundant feedback that we've always gotten is that was incredibly depressing and weirdly empowering.
Right. And that's what we're aiming for.
To know the bad news, rather than to be in denial about it or to be gaslighted about it, is actually to give you a foundation to move forward in the most productive and constructive way you can. And that's always been the foundation of the business, and it continues. So now, of course, we have, like you said, a hellscape to engage with. And what happened about 2 weeks ago was that I started noticing when in the process of my doing my negotiating assistance work, which consumes me in this time of the year, every year, that people were starting to email me and say, I just thought you might want to know that an offer that I had has been rescinded, or that a search that I was a finalist for, and I'm waiting to hear, because I already did my campus visit and I'm waiting to hear, and it looked like I was going to get the offer, that I was just emailed and told that the search is now frozen for indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And after about 10 of those emails, I realized I was seeing a pattern, or as we say in our household, patan. For some reason, because Japanese, so why not? And so I asked folks on Twitter and Facebook to share with me any info they had, and they did, and I saw that it was getting more widespread, and so I created a crowdsource Google Doc and started listing them. And as of yesterday midday, the Google Doc was up to 308 campuses that had frozen hiring, and some of those entries are not single campuses, but statewide systems, mm-hmm. like the Cal State system or the UC system or whatever. And so the number is actually higher than 308 because there are multiple campuses on several of those entries. And so please check that out. If you follow our social media, you'll be able to find it. In fact, actually, I'll put the link on the community page for the Professor's Inn so that you can all find it.
And in the description of the podcast.
And in the description of the podcast, yeah.
Doesn't it have four categories though?
Well, now it has four categories. So that was the original impetus. And that's the overwhelm. I mean, the reason that it's gotten as much coverage as it has, and I got interviewed in Inside Higher Ed or The Chronicle, I forget which, anyway, about it. But eventually it began to expand because some folks contributed some information on their own accord, which I really appreciated. One of them was campuses which are extending their tenure clock. So that's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. Campuses which are extending their graduate student funding promises. So that's a nice thing. And then number four is campuses which are rescinding their graduate school funding offers.
Yeah.
And that number four, well, as when I checked yesterday, it only had two entries in it, University of Arizona, which got a big story in the Chronicle about it. And I think it was University of Central Florida. It was a Florida institution. I can't remember which one. And those were the only two.
So obviously, because of the people we work with and talk to and the community we exist in, we're looking at the consequence of this on hiring. Mm-hmm. And I want to expand it out just a little bit to help people have a little perspective. And this doesn't mean that I think that people should like not feel bad that the searches are are, because you're not alone. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I do think is interesting to try to think about and really put this in perspective is the massive hit to universities, mm-hmm. to universities as a system.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article that came out in the paper here locally yesterday about the University of Oregon and that they have a $25 million enrollment shortfall for spring.
Oh my gosh.
So they've laid off several hundred people.
Wow.
And they have staff and they've taken, administrators have taken pay cuts. But the staff cut that they made, I think they said equaled about 2.5 million. So it's only about 10% of what the shortfall is going to be.
Wow.
So what we're talking about is a massive blow to universities. So we look at that, we look at them at the outcome at the job market and say, my search got canceled. This got canceled. I thought I had a chance here, there, everywhere. But the reality is that universities have taken major blows.
Mm-hmm.
They've been taking body blows for years, mm-hmm. and this is a straight, you know, mm-hmm. right hook to the face.
Right, or like shove your face down into the bathtub until the bubbles stop.
Exactly. So we got some great imagery here going on. But, you know, I am really quite anxious for what it means mm-hmm. for universities. We're going to see it, and we've said it in previous podcasts, we're going to see it as an extinction event for a number of campuses.
Absolutely, that were struggling on their last legs. A lot of small colleges.
Right.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, and it's actually worthwhile context to just emphasize like you did, because when I was interviewed for that piece in Inside Higher Ed, the reporter who I speak with at, you know, probably four times a year on different topics. So we go back a few years now. She said, well, okay, I've heard that these searches are frozen. What can candidates do to fight back? And I said, fight back? Question mark. This was by email. There's no fighting back. This is systemic collapse. And I had kind of meant that to be off the record, but neither of us clarified mm-hmm. the status of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So she took it as on the record and put it as the closing line of her story, which is a good one, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I'm telling this story because the professor is in ethos is fight back, fight the power. And I think when these things first started trickling in, people were saying, we need to unionize. We need to fight back. Who can we report this to? And, you know, this is not, these frozen searches, as heartbreaking as they are and as catastrophic as they are for you as an individual who thought you finally had that tenure track offer and your life was going to be, you know, your economic life at least was going to be saved. Yeah, I mean, as tragic as it is, there isn't an individual response possible.
Hmm.
Right. Because it's systemic collapse, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And there are some interesting threads on Twitter right now with people trying to understand, really not in an angry, outraged way, but trying to break down why are campuses losing so much money already? And so
tuition
and also the massive refunds of room and board
right.
from this spring semester. And which would, like, we got a check back from University of Vermont because our son had to come home. But also all of those subsidiary businesses that keep campuses alive in the present day, the neoliberal age, like the sporting events, the conference facilities, all of those things that generate revenue, every single one of them is closed now.
People have been talking about this for years in university campuses. We've talked about the cost of college ad nauseum. We've talked about the rising student debt. I mean, we've talked about how expensive colleges are. Mm. Colleges are expensive because tuition supports colleges
mm-hmm.
and universities. So if you have even a 10% drop in enrollment because you have a bunch of people who look up and say, you know, I'm not going to sign my kid up for online classes in spring term, for those of you who are on terms, not semesters, or, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to send my kid back in the fall. 10% drop is millions and millions and millions in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're exactly right. Then you shut down the other income streams, right? And suddenly it's constriction, and you have to start laying off and mm-hmm. firing all of the people who run those facilities, mm-hmm. right? Which is what Oregon has been doing. What Oregon was doing is laying off all of the people who run the big new recreation center and run the athletic events and run the student union, all the things where there's just nobody there and nothing happening. All the people in housing, all the people in, so the people at the service level are losing their jobs. The administrators are taking pay cuts. I think the thing that we're in denial about is what's going to happen to faculty. We haven't seen, so yeah, you're not going to get your job that you thought you were going to get. But those of you who are in jobs right now, who are thinking, I'm coming up for tenure, I'm this, I'm that, you are not immune from what's going to happen.
No, that's true. And in fact, on the list, you can, right now, there's just a handful that say they've declared financial exigency, but there will be more, I'm absolutely certain. And when a campus, as far as I know, this is universal, when a campus declares financial exigency, I feel like I'm not pronouncing that right, but I don't know how else it would be pronounced. Tenure is on the table at that point, and tenured faculty can be laid off. And so that is certainly going to be round two or round three. I don't know what round we're on, honestly. But after the initial savings that they're trying to come up with by freezing everything and laying off, you know, what they consider non-essential faculty, then it's going to come to that.
So I feel like we're in this stretch right now where the people who have jobs are trying to manage the jobs, right? They're redoing their classes to be online. They're figuring out how to do grading a different way. They're, how am I going to set this up? How am I going to set this? So there's so much in the firefight that there hasn't been time to think about what does fall mean? And even when they think about fall, they think, oh, now my class is going to have to be online in the fall. And I just want to put a really hard stop right here that there's going to be a point when you have your feet under you, when you can think a little bit more clearly, that you're going to have to look up and try to imagine the long view. And I think every time we have our wits about us enough, when our fear isn't so great and our overwhelm and we're not trying to just figure out where am I going to get groceries right now, but that when we can take those little moments to imagine, get the smart people around you, get people on all these freaking Zoom meetings, what if you, that we start to get to imagine what can we do differently and how can we do it differently? And I'm not, I am not talking about how can we change the system, the university system for the better. I'd love to do that. But I'm talking about you in your life. Where can you start to imagine with like-minded friends how to do this differently?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, what, one of the interesting things that happened is that as I was watching this number just grow and grow and grow of the frozen hiring freezes and hiring pauses. And by the way, part of what I wanted to do today, so let me, so just to put a pin in it so we don't forget, you and I both quickly mobilized to offer some post-academic transition resources, and I want to come back to that. But one thing I want to say as I'm dealing with negotiators is that I still have quite a few active negotiating clients and new ones coming in every single day without exception. So a lot of campuses are finishing up some at least of the hires that they were authorized to do and negotiating contracts. And the contracts, a lot of them are just as solid and robust as they would have been prior to this pandemic. Some of them are. Some of them are beginning to inch down a little bit in terms of the salary offered or the research funding offered, but it's not. The offers that I'm seeing and helping to negotiate are, have not yet been impacted. And so in a way, so, I mean, it adds to the confusion of the present moment. These campuses obviously believe that these faculty that they're hiring are going to be employed and employable come fall when they start paying them a full-time salary.
I'm going to flip roles with you here for a minute because that sounded like the kind of thing I do where I'm like, well, you know, we need to look at also the ways that things work. And what we notice year after year after year, as you keep telling people, look, only X number of percentage, what is it, 25% of teaching positions on college campuses are tenure track faculty.
Something like that, yeah.
Right. And you say that to people and then you say, look, it's shrunk. Look, you're getting paid less. Look, you're having to do more. Look, this is not what you thought it was. That there's always a very large contingent who find something to point at and say, but so-and-so got this. And there's this exceptionalism that happens. And we watch it over and over and over again, and we try to tell people, and people go to graduate school, and we say, don't do that. Don't get debt. And there's always sort of people who just keep denying it. So I'm glad that's happening. And I just want to say, do not, those of you listening who are on the job market or in jobs, do not hang your hat on that little shiny object.
Absolutely not.
Because this is not a time, in my estimation, just my opinion, I don't believe this is a time to hang on for a better day.
No, absolutely not.
It's not going to get better.
It's going to get so much worse. And we can draw some insight from 2008, 2009.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was a catastrophic drop in academic hiring in the following fall. And you can look at the figures and the graphs and the tables. And while, because of the Great Recession, and while the following year and the year after that, so for 2 years, it inched up just ever so slightly, it then in the third year began going down again. And now we are substantially lower than we were at the lowest point of the 2008-2009 job market collapse.
Right.
So, and that's our starting point for the COVID collapse. Mm-hmm. So we are in a world of hurt, an absolute world of hurt. And the podcast, or I'm sorry, the webinar that I gave yesterday, going post-ac in a pandemic, colon, moving on with a PhD under stress, which is now available in recorded form on the website for a reduced rate of $35 to make it accessible to anybody who needs it. My starting point there did change because I give post-academic transition webinars and workshops all the time. And I reframed it to reflect this current reality and just much more in line with what you're saying. This is catastrophic.
Right.
This is not just, here's how we deal with an enduringly bad and ever worsening situation. This is extinction event level catastrophic, and you need to cut bait and move on just as fast as you possibly can.
Yes.
Do not delay.
Yeah. I think that's so let's just pause here. I was thinking as you were saying that what's required emotionally to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That I just want to say that if that sentence that Karen just said, you need, when I said, you know, this is not a time to hang on, and Karen said, this is the time to leave. It's time to cut bait. It's time to think of something else. It's time to move. Like, this is a dangerous situation. It is time to move. That I can imagine that if you're out there with a job or with a plan for a job or with a hope for a job, that's a body blow.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough to curl you up under the table. I was coaching somebody today who was saying that they had two Zoom meetings with a whole bunch of brainstorming about how to deal with the next semester, and that all of them were going to be exploitative to faculty and to contingent faculty, that every solution was going to exploit. Hmm. And there were in some ways no way around it.
Yeah.
And that she said at the end of the Zoom meeting, she just wanted to crawl under a table. And what I want to talk about is the crawl under the table part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That you are going to, as these things happen, want to crawl under a table. And that is a reasonable response. And we posted up on, did we talk about it in a podcast? Man, my brain is so fuzzy. Mm. Did we talk about the feeling you're feeling is grief?
Yes, we did.
You're right. Mm. The exhaustion you're feeling is grief. So we've already talked about that. That there is going to be so much grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And grief can often get masked as anger, right? Yeah, sure. And we talked about how it can quickly be anger. And I think that instinct of like, how do you fight back? What do you do? This is outrageous. That's the first, I would say that's the first response.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to encourage everybody to understand that this is going to be really hard. One of the things that our leadership has failed to do, completely failed to do, is to stand up and look in the camera and say, this is going to be hard. And mm-hmm. it's going to be long, and it's going to take us places we never imagined. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want to remind everybody is this is going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we cannot imagine what it's going to be.
No.
But practicing being nimble right now mm-hmm. is the best thing that you can do.
Well, the other emphasis of the webinar I gave yesterday, and I always do it, even before the pandemic, I emphasize this a lot, that leaving the academy is a process filled with grief, mm-hmm. filled with loss, mm-hmm. and filled with anger and, in fact, bitterness. And I encourage everybody to feel all of those. I encourage people to feel grief, loss, anger, and a certain amount of bitterness, because it's going to come. So you might as well just accept that you're bitter. And then I say, please don't stay in a place of bitterness, because a place of staying there is very corrosive and keeps you from making good, proactive choices. So that was even before the pandemic. Now, I mean, you know, magnified 1,000 times. And add to that, did I say fear? Fear, of course, there's fear associated with where am I going to work? How am I going to make a living? There's always fear associated with that. And now it's, I mean, I'm afraid of my groceries. Right. I'm afraid of my groceries. I'm afraid to ride my bike. You know, I'm not saying that stops me from having groceries or riding my bike or going for a walk. But, you know, if the virus is sitting in the air and you don't know who passed through on your sidewalk, you know, a minute before, like 10 minutes before, you know, you're like, what you're ambient fear.
Yes.
That we're living in is so overwhelming. And then to add to it, these issues of confronting career questions, job questions, health and, I mean, basic safety. And so, I guess what Dr. Aisha Ahmad, who has been blogging for us, and she has extraordinary blog posts with such humanity and such insight. The first one that she has on our blog is about security. And these questions of a job and employment and paychecks are questions of fundamental security. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they do deserve, you know, a real emotional right. engagement and not just an intellectual one.
The thing I think that is so unusual about this moment mm-hmm. and that makes it so difficult is that there are life-changing events all the time in people's lives. Mm-hmm. There are people leaving the academy all the time that for life-changing reasons, health, family, lack of willingness to keep doing it. And in that moment, you are the only one or one of a few doing it. And so you can often get a lot of support. Mm-hmm. You can often have a place to go to process it all and work through it all. And what I notice right now is that very, very few people have a depth of ability to cope with anybody else's stuff. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you're going to get when you reach out to talk to somebody, whether they're going to be in full bloom panic mm-hmm. or it's all going to be okay. So even talking to people is much more
fraught
than it might be otherwise. So it's really hard if your whole circle is now looking down the barrel of unemployment mm-hmm. and of an economy, we don't understand what it will be.
No, we don't.
You know, I wake up every day, and I had a nephew say to me when this first started, and his very, very successful business stopped dead. And he said, I have trouble imagining, I'm trying to think of what is a recession-proof business. What can I do that I'm not going to put all this in and it's just gone mm-hmm. in a heartbeat? Mm-hmm. And every day I spend some time thinking and writing and pondering and thinking, what is a recession-proof opportunity out there? What mm-hmm. what do we see right now that has to happen? Mm-hmm. What do we see? Where can we get creative, get nimble? And I think mm-hmm. it's a way, I know those sound like, you know, annoying business terms, mm-hmm. but I think it would benefit us as we're watching these things explode, to try to carve out a few minutes a day to try to imagine what is a thing that is going to put me less at the mercy of these giant systems.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and universities are giant systems, and we've talked for years about how you're at the mercy of them. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about it at a like, mm-hmm. like panic, wide-eyed level.
Right.
But
I mean, I want to make sure, because we, our listeners being who they are, some of you are sitting there grouching quietly that, well, you're like saying that we can just go get another job, uh-uh. but uh-uh. I just wanted, there aren't any jobs in other sectors either. There certainly are not.
Nope.
There are not other jobs in other sectors. There were not a plethora of good jobs prior to COVID-19. Now those have evaporated as well. What was it? The last figure I saw, and it's quite outdated now, was 17 million unemployment claims. that had dwarfed any previous unemployment claims.
I think we're way past that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, that was a week ago now. Right. So is it double that? I don't know. So I get it. Jobs everywhere have collapsed. Industries everywhere have collapsed or are collapsing. So please know that we are aware of that.
Right. I'm not
actually
talking. It doesn't
seem necessary to say, but I just want to make sure you know that. So, you know, we're not being facile or glib here and saying, well, academia doesn't work, so go get a job at a museum. And then you're like, do you even know from museums?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Museum budgets?
I'm actually talking the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm actually saying, if you can clear your brain for a couple minutes today, a day, to start to think outside the box, mm-hmm. outside the economy. Like, mm-hmm. I saw this thing go across Twitter the other day, and I wish I could cite it, and I can't, and I apologize for that, but it just flew by, and it was someone saying, those of us in ethnic studies, and it may have said ethnic and gender studies, we're not coming out of this the same, and we need to think about how we can keep doing what we do outside of this system. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yes, there, right there. Mm-hmm. How do you take what you bring and all these things, and how do we move them outside of the university system? What do we do? And the problem is, when I say that, people say, well, nobody's going to pay for a class in ethnic studies. It's like, no, I'm asking us to try to think beyond. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is. Right. I truly don't know what it is. But I think it's worth asking ourselves every day.
It's worth asking. And it's also worth being very, very gentle. And this is how I ended the webinar yesterday. Be very gentle with yourself. Yes. Because right now, in the midst of security, basic security level panic and fear and anxiety, you are not going to be able to do your best imaginative thinking necessarily.
Right.
Some people, I think, have minds that rise to, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for a mm-hmm. lot of people. But I mean, I think for most of us right now, in this swirling mass of anxiety and uncertainty, we're not going to be reimagining the world of scholarship in a way that's going to replace a practically 1,000-year-old, you know, history of the university system. Like, that's right, not going to happen. So just being just this kind of a two-pronged approach, do what you're saying, absolutely. And also, if your mind just boggles and all you can do is sit and eat a pint of ice cream, instead, do that as well.
Yeah, and I think it will be really interesting to keep parsing this out, because I think it's really easy to talk in broad strokes, and then if you stop and think a little bit, of course there are people who have been in this kind of crisis and stress. I mean, Aisha is writing about that. She's mm-hmm. writing from a position of having worked and lived in crisis and war zones, and how you do it. Mm-hmm. So there are people who are, for better or worse, schooled mm-hmm. in, because of being in situations of high stress and trauma, schooled in thinking in things of high, mm-hmm. in situations of high stress and trauma. I was talking to a friend who was saying that her husband is handling this all very well because he is at his best when there's a crisis, mm-hmm. probably from growing up in a crisis life. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that we see people who are used to this kind of assault who think really, really creatively. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the people to look and watch and get ideas from, mm-hmm. and or at least think about how to do it. But
mm-hmm. I mean, certainly there's all the political commentary that once the young people who have been so scarred by this and other atrocities, you know, really come of age, that there's going to be a newfound commitment to socialism. And, you know, a disgust with rampant capitalism that we've never seen in our lifetimes. And I totally believe that that's true, but I don't feel like any of us can hang on waiting, you know, for that eventuality or hoping that that will happen. That's not going to happen soon enough. And meanwhile, we have Dementors and Voldemort in, you know, all the positions of power right now who are, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of a verb.
Malevolent.
Well, no, I was trying to think of a verb for what it is they're doing. They're
gutting.
Gutting. I was looking for an even more vivid verb than that, but yes.
Eviscerating.
Eviscerating. Eviscerating our way of life.
We're all about the sat word.
Yeah. So, you know, so we have a lot of years, I think, a number of years, before of bad and maybe worse before it gets better. So, you know, some of it, I mean, I certainly know you, Cal, you keep talking about going off the grid and like growing your own food.
See you when I see you.
And, you know, just selling every last little everything we own, converting it to, I don't know, what, gold bullion?
land.
And becoming one of those people. And I'm laughing, but I mean, I'm not that skeptical that or at this point that's not a wise choice. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to make it mm-hmm. right now.
But you can come and visit me.
Yeah, exactly. But I can, I do see.
I'll give you one of my pears for my orchard. A chicken egg. A pear and an egg. Hi. Visitors get a pear and an egg. Yeah, if you can get through the gates. Mm. No, I'm just joking. Well, not, I'm no, joking I about mean, the gates part. But yeah. Anyway, we have to wrap up, but I want to try to push this back into some kind of shape, right? We got kind of a shaggy dough here.
And also tell you about some of the post-academic stuff that we're offering, too. I just want to make sure you guys know about it.
Right. But for us, the main goal of this podcast was to do two things. It was to hold up a really, really well-lit mirror and tell you to look in it and face reality. Mm-hmm. That this is bad. It's bad. And this is not the time to cling by your fingernails. Mm-hmm. This is not the time to wait out. This is the time to begin to think, where do I want to be? And start mm-hmm. to imagine a different place.
Or to believe any advisors who are going to say something to you like, oh, it was hard when I was on the market in 1980.
I mean, even the people in 2008, that's 12 years ago. They're mm-hmm. like, I got a job we were in a free fall.
Please don't.
So first of all, just really facing reality. Secondly, taking the time to start to write, to ponder, to set up Zoom meetings with smart people, to just talk about what do we want to imagine? You know, start reading some of those books that say, what do I want to imagine I'm going to be? And it doesn't mean you're going to go do something else right now, but start to imagine it. Be very, 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 very gentle with yourself as you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay if you want to curl under the desk for a while. The pint of ice cream is okay. This, all these things, all these videos to be everything and do everything. And like, I'm going to bake everything and I'm going to learn all these languages and I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to become a better person. And
yeah,
I'm going to
just fuck all that.
Yeah. Just like, whatever.
I hate that so
I mean,
much.
You can do it. That's great. If it manages your anxiety to study Spanish all day, go for it. Mm. But it's not a requirement. You're not supposed to come out of this better.
No, you're not.
What I'd love us to do is come out of it serving ourselves mm-hmm. better in what we want to do
right.
with it when we come out.
And that is true.
Yes.
And if you feel, you know, you look out over the horizon and think, you know, a fluency, greater fluency than I currently have in Spanish is a skill I really want to have because I see some real security benefits to that mm-hmm. in terms of being able to generate an income, then yeah, if you can marshal the resources to do some Spanish study, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Great.
But
that's great. If it's toward what you want to, you know, if you're any one of those things. So one of the things that we're going to, so do you have small post-act things you want to talk about or do you want me to talk about the art of leaving?
I want you to talk about the art of leaving. And I want to say that the recording of the going post-act in a pandemic webinar is available on the website right now. And I am also scheduling a new date for April 30th for a live event. So if you didn't make last week's and you want to come or yesterday's and you want to come to a live event, there will be a new one on April 30th. You can find it on the website. You can find it on Facebook and Twitter. And if you can't find it, just email me or contact me on the Himalaya site and I will get you hooked up so that you can come to it. So that we have some just brilliant post-academic coaches. They are kind, they are compassionate, they are wise, and they are available and they will work with you and they will work with your budget at this juncture. Everything we're doing at the Professors Inn is trying to meet the needs of people in a financial crisis. And so if you want to work with them and have budgetary limits, just don't hesitate, get in touch with us and ask what's possible.
Right. The other thing that I'm working on, and I admit I'm a little bit chagrined about it because I've been working on it for a couple of years and it keeps getting backburned, is a program that when we first started creating it, we called The Art of Leaving, which is what all of our digital courses are called, The Art of Something. So this course in The Art of Leaving is a 10-week course designed to walk you through that reimagining. It's very much less about how to write a resume and much, much more about how do I process this? How do I reimagine myself? How do I get out of my way enough to imagine a different life? How do I manage my fear? All those sorts of things. So we'll be starting a beta testing of that in the middle of May. So if you're interested in being part of the beta test group, you can email me at tnl@theprofessorisin.com. I'm going to put together several five to seven person groups. It'll meet weekly as we work out the material. And part of what we'll do together is you'll be able to give feedback from me on whether it works and is supportive for you and what isn't. Obviously, it's going to be different for different people. So we'll be doing that. The only limitation on the beta test round is that you do have to have a PhD. So this is not for people who are in PhDs and thinking about leaving. This is really people who are either in positions and thinking about leaving, who have PhD and have been trying to get into positions and are thinking about stopping. So do get in touch with me if you're interested in that.
Great. Yes. I'm excited about that. I think it's going to help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's going to have, well, like you said, but just to emphasize it, it's going to have that quality that we are committed to. You and I are both committed to, which is that this isn't just a how-to, right. How to write a cover letter, how to write a resume, how to read a job ad, how to deal with keywords. Those are all important things that you have to know. But it's how to correctly recognize and tally your own strengths, how to separate yourself from the identity that is really singular identity that comes with being an academic, like I'm an anthropologist, I'm a philosopher, I'm a scholar, and really detaching from that singular identity and very compassionately and insightfully embracing all of the skills you have that you probably don't even realize you have. And again, with great gentleness and compassion for the moment we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we are right now. We are once again, I'm just going to repeat the same thing I keep saying to the writing groups that I'm working with right now. Keep assessing where you are between rocky and solid and keep looking for the things that are going to get you closer to solid. And we will see you next round.
All right. Take care, everyone.